great. I tell you, it's great that the kids have their time and the teachers are there to teach. If you are, if you feel the Lord just really moving you to teach those wonderful children who I know just also like to hear me, like most of you, they would love to have you sign up in the foyer. And that way you don't have to listen to me because you go out and, don't all go at once, just... But we need you. We need you to help in our children's church starting next Sunday. So we are done our summer stint of children's church. Those who have served there, we thank you and praise God for you. And now we're into our fall zone. And so you need to sign up if you want to help out in our children's church. That would be greatly appreciated. Not only our nursery, but also children's church. It's great. Where's the sign-up sheet? Do you know? In the foyer. Thank you. So you all know, so I'll see you out there after. We've been going through a series, You Asked For It, and we've been going through different questions that you have posed in some form or another to us as staff, and this one actually has come up quite frequently, and especially given what's happened in our country, actually in our world, where do I find security? And it's a good question. It's a very good question. We're going to dig into that today. Where do I find security? I want to begin by, first of all, giving you a little snippet from Lucy and Charlie Brown. You all know who Lucy and Charlie Brown are. And do you? Yeah. I'm going to have to work this morning, I tell you. Lucy says to Charlie Brown, Charlie, how would you define security? And Charlie Brown says, well, remember when you were a little kid riding home from some place in the back seat of the car? Your parents are up front driving, and you know that you have nothing to worry about as you fall asleep because you know they'll get you home and put you in bed. Isn't that good? And Lucy says, well, that's security. Isn't that? That's really good. But if you study Charlie Brown enough, you know he never knows when to stop. It's kind of like many preachers, you know, they just keep going on and on. And he says, but you don't get to stay in the back seat forever. You grow up. And after a while, you have to get in the front seat where you have to make all the decisions. And you're never going to feel secure again because you've left the back seat. And Lucy says, never. Charlie Brown says, never. Lucy says, hold my hand, Charlie Brown. Hold my hand. And they go down, walking, holding hands together. That's security. Short-lived for many people. It is. There was a Gallup poll that was done, and this question was asked. What is your greatest need in life? And one of the top six answers was security. People want to feel secure. Now, how many of you would say, there was a time I felt secure, but I'm not now. Now, don't put your hands up, because if you're not secure, you'll leave here going, oh, I wish I hadn't put my hand up. When I put my hand up, I can't go back there again because I put my hand up for that. You know, so don't put your hand up. But maybe there was a point where you were actually financially secure, and then this whole recession thing hit, and now you're no longer feeling that security. Maybe physically you felt great. You were healthy, and you thought, well, I'm never going to get sick. I'm king of the world, you know, like, Titanic, one of my, you know, that's my Leonardo DiCaprio impersonation. You know. Thank you. Those watching by internet are going, that's Leonardo DiCaprio? Anyway. But security has a tendency to be here 1 minute and then in an instant, gone. Poof, disappears in us. Relationships, in particular relationships, you can feel so secure in a relationship, and then all of a sudden, boom, it's gone. It can happen. Something can happen in a relationship that will just twist it, and then all of a sudden you don't have that relationship anymore. Or it's not the same as it once was. Like, I got to have a Pickles cartoon, so look at this. Look at this Pickles cartoon. I always hoped that when I got old, I'd be considered a wise man. It turns out it's pretty easy to be thought of as wise. All you have to do is live a long time and don't say too much, and people will assume you're a wise man. I believe it. The more you talk, the less wise you seem to me. You know? Relationships. It's a real world that we live in, isn't it? How are you and I ever going to get to where we really feel secure? Now, I love what Jesus says about this, and I invite you to turn to Matthew chapter 6. It's one of my favorite passages. I love the Gospels, and I love what Jesus teaches us here this morning, because it's a great, great passage of Scripture. Matthew chapter 6, and I'm going to start in verse 19 of Matthew chapter 6. He's talking, like he does the Beatitudes and talks about oaths and loving your enemies. I mean, we're all good at this, so we don't need this stuff. Giving to the needy, you know, prayer, because we all love our enemies. We don't need that. Fasting. Treasures in heaven. No, you'll need to read that stuff. It's really important. Treasures in heaven is where I'm going to start reading in the NIV. It says treasures in heaven. Verse 19. Do not store up for yourselves treasures on earth, where moth and rust destroy, and where thieves break in and steal, but store up for yourselves treasures in heaven, where moth and rust do not destroy, and where thieves do not break in and steal. For where your treasure is, there your heart will be also. The eye is the lamp of the body. If your eyes are good, your whole body will be full of light. But if your eyes are bad, your whole body will be full of darkness. If then the light within you is darkness, how great is that darkness? No one can serve two masters. Either he will hate the one and love the other, or he will be devoted to the one and despise the other. You cannot serve both God and money. Now listen, this is a... wait a minute, I thought you were talking about security. Yeah, I am. I'm not going to talk about money. This is a lesson on security. But Jesus understood that we have a tendency to put our security into possessions, into things. And so Jesus talks about two kinds of treasures. That's what I love about this passage. He talks about two kinds of treasures. The first kind is earthly. Earthly treasures. Look at verse 19. Do not store up for yourselves treasures on earth, where moth and rust destroy and where thieves break in and steal. Now, earthly treasure comes under attack through moths. You know, this. How many of you love moths? You know? Yeah, some of you. How many of you love moths more than spiders? Yeah, some of you. Spiders kind of work the same for me, but actually, I can handle a moth. I can't handle it. Now, when Jesus talked about moths destroying our earthly treasures, the disciples understood what he meant. He was talking about clouds. You see, in Jesus' day, many people put all their treasures in clothing. Many of them sold gold threads into their clothes. I mean, I want you to, this is not, I'm not against clothes. I'm not saying you shouldn't have anything. I'm not saying you shouldn't have any kind of money. It's not an anti-possession, anti-money thing, all right? I'm not saying go out and sell your house and live on park bench. You know, I'm not saying that. I'm talking about excess. It says, where do you put your security? Do you put your security in the excess of life that you have? Moths only bother clothes that you don't wear. So if you got a stock of clothes that you don't wear, you know, I got to tell you, my aunt, bless her heart, she passed away about 7 years ago. My mom and dad, they helped my aunt all through her years, but in particular towards the end when she couldn't do much. And my mom would often say to my aunt, you've got to get rid of some of this stuff, Thelma. You have to get rid of some of this. Like some of this stuff, like look at these are clothes. They're still in the packages. You haven't even opened these up. You've got to get rid of some of this stuff. And my aunt would say, well, you never know when you might need it. You never know when you might need it. So when my aunt passed away in 2003, my mother inherited. And guess what I get to go through? Wrapped clothes from my aunt from 2003. Because when I'd say to my mom, Mom, we got to throw these out. She'd say, oh, you never know. We just might need it. Same thing. And I'll tell you, some of those garments have been devoured by moths because they were never worn. They had no value because they were never worn. See? Do you get moths? Some of you are having moths attack right now. You're just kind of like, yeah. The second one is rust. Now, I was just telling our friends are here from Ontario. We were talking about rust and how, you know, it's better to buy a car here in Western Canada. You guys don't know how great we got it. Because in Ontario, it's a car sits in the parking lot and it just eats away from the rust. It just, you just watch it just go like this, you know. He's a body man. He knows what he's talking about. He's also a pastor. So don't worry. I don't do body work, so don't ask me. But, and you know, rust eats away. Have you ever seen rust? It's that ugly, your tub, you know, like if just water drips in there, rust forms and slowly it corrodes around the drain and then you got to replace the tub because it's just leaking all over the place, unless you want to just let it leak. I don't know, but you know, but you know what Jesus was also talking about when he talked about rust? In the Greek, there's also a term that refers to rodents. Because back in this time, the people were farmers and they had excess grain. And you know what rodents do with excess grain? They get into barns and they eat away at that stuff. And so what you thought, well, boy, there's all my piggy banks full of grain. And you go and you open up that door and it's, whoa, where did it all go? But you got lots of rodents because you can save it away for security. And one day it'll all be gone. Thieves. Jesus is saying that when you and I bank on something earthly for our security, which is a very human thing to do, we'll always be in trouble. Because, you know, there was a number of years ago that, and, you know, we've had some since, but we had a break-in here at the church. How many of you were around at that time when that break-in happened? Okay, two of you. All right. Three. But we had a break-in. I came on a Sunday morning, and the place was broken into, and our computers were trashed, and seriously, they took them apart and smashed them. They took some stuff. They took some amps and some sound equipment and some TVs and stuff like that. And, you know, they got away with stuff. But you know what? It's not ours. It's God's. The stuff in my home, if we came home and something disappeared or, for instance, if somebody stole something from me, it's not mine. It's God's. See, and to God, you got to understand, it's His stuff. And so it doesn't matter. It makes no difference to us if we know it's His. So having a thief come in, while it's unsettling for us, it makes no difference to us when it's all God's anyway. Well, Jesus talks about two kinds of treasure. He talks about earthly, but then he also talks about heavenly. It's interesting. Jesus tells us to have heavenly treasures. But when we start discussing heavenly treasures, it kind of is almost mystical. And if you're like me, I like practical. And I like the practical stuff. And so Jesus teaches us that our treasure, our treasure is really connected to, first of all, the heart. If you look at verse 21, look at this. Store up for yourselves, verse 20, store up for yourselves treasures in heaven where moth and rust do not destroy, where thieves do not break in and steal, for where your treasure is, there your heart will be also. My heart. There's a relationship between what my heart wants to do and where my treasure is. There's no such thing as the treasure being over here and a heart being over here. In fact, you know, speaking of relationship, I had and maybe some of you know this, but I had a couple who they came to see me and they, you know, they were planning to get married. No, it was not my son and his fiancée. But they were planning to get married, and they sat in my office, and you know. And you know how it is, right? And so they sat there, and she said, "He's not a Christian yet, and so we came to see you." And so in my office, he did this. He accepted the Lord. He prayed and he asked Jesus, said, "I want Jesus. I want Jesus. I want Jesus." So he accepted Jesus. into his heart. Prayed right there. And then she said, oh good, now we can get married. A year later. They were kind of frequently to church. I mean, quite consistent. They came every Sunday and they got married, still came to church, still came to church, still came to church. A year after they got married, she came to church, she came to church, she came to church. And I was going, what? So I went, I was, where is he? Where's your hubby? At home. I said, really? She said, yeah, he doesn't believe in Jesus. So I paid a visit to their home that week, and I sat down with them. And he told me the story. He said, I didn't accept Jesus. I accepted my wife. I wanted to marry her. And at this time, they had a child, and so they had now had children. And so he then said to me, I said, where's your faith then? If it is not in Jesus, where is your faith? And he said, well, it's in my wife. It's in my family. That's where my faith is. So I said, is it okay if I pray to you, or pray for you, that God reveals in a big way who he is better in your life? He said, you can do it, but it's not going to do anything. And unfortunately, about a month later, his wife and his kids left him. And they did ultimately divorce. But through that, he phoned me. And he said to me, what did I do wrong? I said, where is your heart? He said, with my family. I said, no, another question. Where is your heart supposed to be? He said, on Christ. I said, exactly. He did turn his life around. He's married and things are going well, as far as I know. But you see what happens? Where your heart is, there also is your treasure. And if something takes the place of what really needs to be there, which is our relationship with Christ, I tell you, everything goes wrong because your heart is somewhere else. And then Jesus goes on and he says in verse 22, the eye is the lamp of the body. If your eyes are good, your whole body will be full of light. But if your eyes are bad, your whole body would be full of... Just a minute, I can't read that. My eyes are bad. Will be full of darkness. If then the light within you is darkness, how great is that darkness? It's through our eyes that we see. It's through our eyes that we fall in love. It's true. That's why there's a show called Dating in the Dark. Anybody ever watched it? I won't admit to it, I mean. Okay, all right. I know you people don't watch TV. But, you know, in this show, they basically date and they don't see each other. They're in the dark. Okay, so they talk to each other. It's a novel concept. No, most of us aren't used to it, but they sit and they talk. And they kind of get to know each other just through talking. They don't, they don't see each other. So they don't know what each other looks like. So there's no preconceived ideas. They can't see each other. And at the end, they can have a decision. They get to see each other. And then they can choose. Will I continue to date this person or not? And I'll tell you, it's the best show ever to show how shallow people really are. Because we see with our eyes and we fall in love with things. We fall in love with people. That's why we can't really visually see God, and he wants us to be in love with him. I love God. I love God. God, I love you. God, I love you. When I'm financially secure. God, I love you. When my health is perfect. God, I love you when my relationships are soaring, when I have the woman and the man in my dreams. I love you, God. But when things go awry, God, when things just take off in a different direction, then I don't know if you even exist, God. I don't even know if you're real anymore. I don't even know if you're there, because if you're there, you would be looking after me, God. If you were there, you would be giving me the desires of my heart. And God says, I am giving you the desires of your heart. You just don't realize it's me. You think it's everything else that you see. And it's not what you need. Verse 24, no one can serve two masters. Either he will hate the one and love the other, or he will be devoted to the one and despise the other. You cannot serve both God and money. We're going to love one, we're going to hate the other. You see, Jesus teaches us that treasure is connected to the will, what we decide. See, and I'll tell you that God calls us to things that we don't do. I mean, God, you know, I believe this. I mean, God can call us to be doing something, and we go, yeah, and we try and negotiate through it. God, I know, but I really don't want to get along with that person. God, I know, but I really don't want to give away all that stuff in the packaging because I might need it for a rainy day. God, I know. But do you realize how hard it is, God, for me to do that? I'll tell you right now, if God calls you to do it, he'll get you through it. If God calls you to do it, he'll get you through it. Do you understand our Lord here? He desperately is trying to teach us how to prioritize our life and how to make him number one. Not just in saying he's number one, but by truly making him number one. All these other things will be added unto you, but you can never go after the things. You see, our tendency is always to go after the tangible, after the things. No, what we've really got to do is put God number one and let him take care of the other things in your life. I have, won't take long. I have seven little things that I just want you to get today, because you got to get these, because it'll really help you, because it really help you find your security. And if you look, those who place Christ first should not worry because they understand these things, okay? Those who place Christ first should not worry because they understand what life consists of. And if you look at verse 25 there, life consists of, therefore I tell you, do not worry about your life. What you'll eat or drink, or about your body, what you'll wear. Is not life more important than food and the body more important than clothes? I tell you, do not worry about your life. Go down to verse 31. This passage. So, do not worry. I think there's a little theme going on here. Jump down to verse 34. Therefore, do not worry. Wow. Well, not just seekers, you took the fun out of life. What am I going to do at night? Am I going to sleep? What's? Because I go to bed, I just lay there and I think about everything I need to do. What do? You mean I have to sleep now at night? You mean I might get a good night's rest? What? I don't believe this. Those who place Christ first understand what life consists of. Christians who place Christ first, they don't worry because they are not confused about what brings value to their life. They understand life is more than food or clothes. Those who place Christ first understand their value to God. I mean, if you look in here, verse 26, he says, look at the birds of the air. They do not sow or reap or store away in barns, and yet your heavenly Father feeds them. Are you not much more valuable than they are? Christians who put Christ first in their life understand they're created in God's image, that God's Son, Jesus Christ, came to forgive their sins and literally died for them. If Christians should have anything in life, it's this feeling of security, self-worth. I mean, when I figure that out, I'm amazed. When you realize that God created you in his image and in his Son came and died for your sins, that tells you an awful lot about how important you are to him. Even Jesus says, don't you understand? You're worth more than the birds. And we're looking after them. But But we devalue ourselves so much. We often think, oh, God takes care of the birds, but he won't look after me. That's when you've been up all night with a slumber party with the youth or something. You know, that happened last night, by the way. That's why I threw that in there. Wake up. Anyway. Those who... sorry. They were sleeping. I'm sorry. Anyway. Those who place Christ first, they understand worry is totally useless. If you look at verse 27, who of you by worrying can add a single hour to his life? In fact, worry doesn't make you live longer. It'll cause you to die quicker. It's not going to add value to you. It's not going to add any stature, any height to you. It's not going to change what you look like. I mean, worrying isn't going to do anything for you. Absolutely nothing. So those who've placed Christ first, they understand worry is totally useless. But they also understand power and wealth will not give them what they need. If you look at verse 29, I tell you that not even Solomon, in all his splendor, was dressed like one of these. Why do we worry about the clothes? See how the lilies of the field, look at verse 28. See how the lilies of the field grow? They do not labor or spin. I tell you that not even Solomon, in all his splendor, was dressed like one of these. Have you ever gone to an untouched meadow? And you come to this meadow, and I tell you, I did this. First time I ever went, what do you call that when you ride those big quad? Thank you. So I don't know what they are. I was riding this quad. I was zipping along, and the person who was instructing me was driving really fast, I think trying to lose me. And, you know, and I was trying to keep up because I thought, well, I'm determined I can keep up, so I tried my best. And it took me actually to this untouched meadow of purple flowers. And it was just, like, as far as I could see around these trees, no one had ever gone in there. No one had ever walked in that place. And there were those flowers just dressing that side of that kind of embankment. And I thought, this is gorgeous. This is beautiful. You can't get anything greater than this. The flowers in the field. Most people think that if they could just have some money, just get ahead in life, everything will be taken care of. And Jesus says, that's not true. All the resources, all the provisions, all the possessions you have are not going to keep you from being insecure in life. Those who place Christ first understand worry reflects the character of the unbeliever. If you look at verse 32. For the pagans run after all these things, and your heavenly Father knows that you need them. See, I think he's looking at us in amazement, and I think he's saying, aren't you my children? Did I not die for you? Do I not call you my children? Aren't you all on my side? Are you then going to constantly worry and be concerned about these areas of your life that you don't need to worry about, because I'll look after them for you if you believe me? See, the unbeliever doesn't believe Jesus, but the believer does. And so those who place Christ first understand worry reflects the character of the unbeliever, but they also understand worry keeps us from making God number one. Look at this, verse 33, favorite passage. But seek first his kingdom and his righteousness, and all these things will be given to you as well. All these things will be given to you as well. Now, worry keeps us from making God number one. Now, I know what you're thinking. Are you sure about that? I mean, hey, read my lips. I'm very sure. In fact, I know, unfortunately, from experience. Most often we believe God can't take care of us. I'll tell you, if you're in control of your life, if you're selfishly attempting to do your own thing, folks, I love you, okay? These are the words of Jesus. He's saying that you're carrying way too much weight on your shoulders. You're carrying it like you don't have a Heavenly Father who cares for you. You're running around like people who don't believe in Jesus, like heathens, bickering and complaining, seeking your agendas, looking after your own needs and taking care of yourself. He says, you don't understand. Jesus says, trust me. All you have to do, Jesus says, is one thing. Put me first. And then all these things will be added unto you. When you put him first and do what he wants, then all these other things will be yours as well. You see, what we want the last part. We want the last part of the verse. Where is it? God, oh God, bless me. I went to church today. Bless me. I'll serve you. I'll make you number one. I really will. And then financially, whoop, oh, there we go. Yeah, oh, where are you, God? Please bless me, God. You know, and then and when we get our, in our financial drither, and then all of a sudden we're going, God, where are you? Where are you? I don't even know if you're real anymore. Bless my family, God. If you bless my family, I do. If you bless my family, I'll dedicate them to you. Just bless us financially, bless us. Bless us, God, give us everything we want. Give us everything, and then we'll put you first. God says, no way. You put me first, and I'll bless you. The seventh and final thing that those who place Christ first understand, worry keeps us from dealing with today. If you look at verse 34, therefore, do not worry about tomorrow, for tomorrow will worry about itself. Each day has enough trouble of its own. You're going to get enough today that you don't need to deal with tomorrow. So you're going to get enough that you need to handle today. You're probably already there. You know, I made sure of that today. So, but what worry does is it saps your energy. It divides our focus. It keeps us from dealing with the present. Because we're so worried about what is to come. And I need to concentrate on today. I need to start saying today, God, I'm going to focus only on you. Because I know I cannot serve two, but only you. So instead of worrying, God, I'm going to focus on you, not two. You getting it? Making sense? Focus on you, God, not two. You cannot serve two masters. Only one. God, I'm only going to focus on you, not two. Can you say, God, I'm only going to focus on you? Okay, that's pretty fair. God, I'm only going to focus on you. God, I'm only going to focus on you. You guys got it. And you got that today, in the present day. And that's good for today. It's good for tomorrow. It's good for this week. It's good for the month. It's good for the year. It's good for your future. Jesus knew that there would be everything else in this world that would clamor for our attention and try to divide us and pull us down. And at first, here at first, we will always focus on God. And if we start to stray from him, then we're divided. And his ministry is hampered because his blessings removed. You go, okay, you guys do it then. If you want to do it, you do. And we've done that. We've gone down that road a few times. And God's always brought us back. We've already got back to him and focused on him. Got to focus on God. You got to put him first. You know, when I went through the seven things that those who place Christ first understand, if you notice, I put understand. I didn't say feel like, because you don't feel like doing anything, because the world doesn't want us to, they want us to feel. They don't want us to understand. Maybe there's some areas in your life where you just are not putting your faith in God. And maybe there are some where you're doing a great job, but there's others that you just find so hard. Some areas where you give to God quickly, and then those others, God, you know, I just think you got way too much to handle, so I'll look after this one myself. You know, God, God, you're getting it wrong. You're getting it wrong, God. I don't want it done that way. I want it done this way instead. I don't want it. You know what, God? You got to realize I got to get this right. You know, you're not getting it right, God. You don't understand. He understands better than you do. I'll tell you, when we stand before Him someday, and we see His awesomeness, we're going to be so humbled as to how little we tapped into His blessing. We're experiencing miracle after miracle here at First. But we've also understood that it's not easy to get the miracle. It's not easy to get the victory. But we need to trust Him completely. You might be saying, well, I don't have any money. I'm out of a job. I don't know, my relationship's breaking down. I tell you, things are happening to me in my health. I don't have the pat answers for you. And I don't understand why that stuff happens. But I know whenever we take our will and whenever we decide with all our heart, to completely serve our God, the blessings are immeasurable. And that's why the Apostle Paul said, for me to live is Christ. For me to live is Christ. For me to live is Christ. Now, I got up there. For me to live is blank. I want you to think about it for a moment. What would you put in there? What would you put in that blank? Would you put money? Would you put possessions? Would you put control? Would you put power? Would you put your family? Would you put job? Would you put health? I know you're in church. I know you're in church. Some of you might put ministry, but you're in church, and I know you're going to put down Christ, because that's what you're supposed to do. You're in church, and the Apostle Paul said that, and it's in the Word of God, so I've got to put that down. Don't go that route. I want you to think about it. I want you to pray about it. What would you put in that blank? For me to live is happiness, is joy. I don't know what it is. Just take a moment and think about it. And when you do, when you've got it, that is exactly where you're placing your security, is in that blank. Now, I know most of you are going to put, well, I've got to put Christ then. No, be honest with yourself. Because you can deal with this today. You can't serve two masters anymore. We're trying to have eternal values, and at the same time our heart is panning for earthly things. It just doesn't work. You can focus on eternal things, and you can have earthly things, but you cannot focus on earthly things and have eternal things. You can't. Seek first God's kingdom. Trust completely in Him. Focus on God. That is where you find security. Let's pray. Well, heads are bowed and eyes are closed. I don't know what you put in that blank. I don't need to know. But I hope you've been honest with yourself this morning. Maybe you put your family. Maybe you put your spouse. Maybe you put your finances. Maybe you put your home and your things and the possessions, the clothes, makeup. For me to live is, maybe it's employment. For me to live is, maybe it's a fit body. No, workout 17 times a day. Be honest with yourself. Pray about it. God, what am I living for? Maybe you're coming to God and you're saying, God, I got off track. I've been trusting more on holidays than I've been trusting more on you. God, I've been trusting more on doctors to solve my eyesight than I have in trusting you, God. And not that we can't have doctors. We need that. Don't get me wrong. But what are you living for? I'm living for money. God, I'm living for money. I'm living for my retirement. God, I'm looking forward to retiring. I can hardly wait for me to live as. Maybe you need to say this morning, God, I need to surrender that. I need to give it up. I haven't been focusing on you. I've been living for this other master in my life, and I need to get rid of that right now, today. God, you got to look after this for me. You got to look after my financial security. God, you got to look after my retirement. God, you got to look after my employment. You got to look after my holidays, my rest. God, I need you to look after that, because I can't do it anymore. I can't serve two masters anymore. I can only serve you, God. And so, God, I sit before you right now as a broken person who needs you. Maybe you don't know where you're going to get your next meal. But maybe you've never trusted God to let him bring it to you. Maybe you don't know how you're going to manage in this relationship. And maybe you've never trusted God with the relationship you're in. Maybe you're busy rambling around, darting in and out, trying to solve issues that you have no business trying to solve, because you just don't trust God to do it. Father God, as we walk out of this sanctuary, your place, help us quit biting our fingernails, pulling out our hair. Lord, help us not to keep losing sleep, to trying to figure out everything that you've got figured out already. If there's one thing we can settle right now, God, help us to settle it. Help us to put you number one in our life. It's all we've got to do. And yet, God, we know that we'll do everything in our power to keep you from getting on that throne. We'll help us this morning, God, to just lay back. Just let you be God. Help us, God, to put you first and watch what you will do. Holy Spirit, this message is needed for our church body. Encourage them with it. Help them to trust completely in you, to put you first, and to trust only in you, to, Lord, not be divided anymore in their living. God, I know, hallelujah, you heard that today. I'm excited, God. I'm excited today. I can hardly wait to hear how people put you first, trusted in you, focused on you. Thank you, God. Thank you. We pray that you would receive the glory, that you would receive all glory and all honor and all power in our lives as we live for you. We pray in Jesus Christ's name. Amen.